Welcome to Almost Dan's radio show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at allwillstan.org. Today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. About a week ago, my family and I, we went down to Hot Springs, South Dakota, and they have this old schoolhouse that has a museum in it. And we took a look at that. And afterwards, because we had never really walked around Hot Springs, we took a walk around and happened upon a thrift store, and in there they had this section of books, and they were religious section, and it said, well, free, and I found one by D.L. Moody. And it's quite an old one, and it's called The Way to God. Well, I'm at least going to go over one chapter of it, and perhaps two, but definitely this one had been on my mind, and then I ended up getting somebody asking a question through the radio program, wondering what living for Jesus means, and I was already going to do this show, so well, I'm just going to go ahead and record this now, and it won't be on air until you'll hear it in July in Africa, but I'll put it up online sooner. And anyway, it's from Dwight Moody. It's from the late 1800s, and it's called A Divine Savior. It answers a very important question, so let me go ahead and get started here. John 6:69, Matthew 16:16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We meet with a certain class of inquirers who do not believe in the divinity of Christ. There are many passages that will give light on this subject. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15:47, we are told, the first man is of the earth, earthly, the second man is the Lord from heaven. In 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God is come and have given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a true God in eternal life. Again, in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then in Mark chapter 14, verse 60, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, and saith, what need we any further witness? You have heard him the blasphemy, what think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. What brought me to believe in the divinity of Christ was this. I did not know where to place Christ or what to do with him, if he were not divine. When I was a boy, I thought that he was a good man like Moses, Joseph, or Abraham. I even thought that he was the best man who had ever lived on the earth. But I found that Christ had a higher claim. He claimed to be God-man, to be divine, to have come from heaven. He said, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. I could not understand this, and I was driven to the conclusion, and I challenge any candid man to deny the inference or meet the argument that Jesus Christ is either an impostor or deceiver, or he is the God-man, God manifest in the flesh. And for these reasons, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Look at the millions throughout Christendom who worship Jesus Christ as God. If Christ be not God, this is idolatry. We are all guilty of breaking the first commandment if Jesus Christ were a mere man, if he were a created being and not what he claims to be. Some people who do not admit his divinity say that he was the best man who ever lived. But if he were not divine, for that very reason he ought not to be reckoned a good man. For he laid claim to an honor and dignity to which these very people declare he had no right or title. That would rank him as a deceiver. Others say that he thought he was divine, but that he was deceived, as if Jesus Christ were carried away by the delusion and deception and thought that he was more than he was. I could not conceive of a lower idea of Jesus Christ than that. This would not only make him out an impostor, but that he was out of his mind and that he did not know who he was or where he came from. Now, if Jesus Christ was not what he claimed to be, the Savior of the world, and if he did not come from heaven, he was a gross deceiver. But how can one read the life of Jesus Christ and make him out a deceiver? A man has generally some motive for being an impostor. What was Christ's motive? He knew that the course he was pursuing would conduct him to the cross, that his name would be cast out as vile, and that many of his followers would be called upon to lay down their lives for his sake. Nearly every one of the apostles was a martyr, and they were considered as offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. If a man is an impostor, he has a motive at the back of his hypocrisy. But what was Christ's object? The record is that he went about doing good. This is not the work of an impostor. Do not let the enemy of your soul deceive you. In John chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, we read, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." How it works out. Now notice, by the Jewish law, if a man were a blasphemer, he was to be put to death, and supposing Christ to be merely human, if this be not blasphemy, I do not know where you will find it. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. That is downright blasphemy, if Christ be not divine. If Moses or Elijah or Elisha or any other mortal had said, "You must honor me as you honor God," and had put himself on the level of God, it would have been downright blasphemy. The Jews put Christ to death because they said that he was not what he claimed to be. It was on that testimony he was put under oath. The high priest said, "I adjure thee by the living God, and thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Matthew chapter 26, verse 63. And when the Jews came round him and said, "How long doest thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. John chapter 10, verse 24 through 33. They said they did not want to hear more, for that was blasphemy. It was for declaring himself to be the Son of God that he was condemned and put to death. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 through 66. Now, if Jesus Christ were mere man, the Jews did right according to their law in putting him to death. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16, we read, "And he that blaspheme the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as a stranger. And he that is born in land, when he blasphemed the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." This law obliged them to put to death everyone who blasphemed. It was making the statement that he was divine that cost him his life. And by the Mosaic law, he ought to have suffered the death penalty. In John 16:15, Christ says, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." How could he be merely a good man and use language as that? No doubt has entered my mind on the point since I was converted. One good proof. A notorious sinner was once asked how he could prove the divinity of Christ. His answer was, "Why? He has saved me." And that is pretty good proof, is it not? An infidel on one occasion said to me, "I have been studying the life of John the Baptist, Mr. Moody. Why don't you preach him? He was a greater character than Christ. You would do a greater work." I said to him, "My friend, you preach John the Baptist, and I will follow you and preach Christ, and we will see who will do the most good." "You will do the most good," he said, "because the people are so superstitious." "Ah, John was beheaded, and his disciples begged his body and buried it, but Christ has risen from the dead. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captives captive and receive gifts for men." Psalms 68:18. Christ is risen. Our Christ lives. Many people have not found out that Christ has risen from the grave. They worship a dead Savior, like Mary, who said, "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." John chapter 20, verse 13. That's the trouble with those who doubt the divinity of our Lord. Then look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I. Well now, if he is a mere man, how can he be there? All these are strong passages. Again, in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Could he be a mere man and talking that way? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth? Then again in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. If he were mere man, how could he be with us? Yet he says, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Then again, in Mark chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Some men will meet you and say, Did not Elisha also raise the dead? Notice that in the rare instance in which men have raised the dead, they did it by the power of God. They called on God to do it. But when Christ was on earth, he did not call upon the Father to bring the dead to life. When he went to the house of Jairus, he said, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Mark 5:41. He had power to impart life. When they were carrying the young man out of Nain, he had compassion on the widow mother and came and touched the bier and said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Luke 7:14. He spake, and the dead arose. And when he raised Lazarus, he called with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. John 11:43. And Lazarus heard and came forth. Someone has said, It was a good thing that Lazarus was mentioned by name, or all the dead within the sound of Christ's voice would immediately have risen. In John chapter 5, verse 25, Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. What blasphemy would this have been, had he not been divine? The proof is overwhelming, if you will, but examine the word of God. Worship accepted by Christ. And then another thing. No good man except Jesus Christ has ever allowed anybody to worship him. When this was done, he never rebuked the worshiper. In John chapter 9:38, we read that the blind man was found by Christ. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. The Lord did not rebuke him. Then again, Revelation 22:6 runs thus. And he said unto me, These things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of his book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keepeth the sayings of this book, worship God. We see here that even an angel would not allow John to worship him, even an angel from heaven. And if Gabriel came down here from the presence of God, it would be a sin to worship him, or any seraph, or any cherub, or Michael, or any archangel. Worship God. And if Jesus Christ were not God, manifest in the flesh, we are guilty of idolatry in worshiping him. In Matthew chapter 14:33, we read, Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. He did not rebuke them. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, we also read, And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In Matthew 15:25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. There are many other passages, but I give these as sufficient, in my opinion, to prove beyond any doubt the divinity of our Lord. In Acts chapter 14, we are told the heathen of Lystra came with garlands and would have done sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas because they had cured an impotent man. But the evangelists rent their clothes and told these Lystrans that they were but men and not to be worshipped, as if it were a great sin. And if Jesus Christ is a mere man, we are all guilty of a great sin in worshipping him. But if he is, as we believe, the only begotten and well-beloved Son of God, let us yield to his claims upon us, let us rest on his all-atoning work, and go forth to serve him all the days of our life. So that is it from Mr. Moody's book, and I found that to be just incredibly interesting, and the timing seems to be quite good. It is definitely something that fits right in there with the Back to the Basics podcast, and so I may very well do one more show out of this book. I think some of these are pieced together sermons in a book that quite interesting. So this book, it says on the back, and I'm not sure how old it is. I think it's perhaps the 1930s, but each book was 25 cents, so you could get 10 for $2.25. And Moody saw the need for inexpensive Christian literature, so he would have these books done quite cheaply, and so people could hand out a book. So I thought, I have a book right available up on allwillstand.org. It's on the very top of the website. It's called What Jesus Did on the Cross, and that you could print it out and hand it out, or you could just attach it to an email. It's a PDF, and just send it to anyone you want it. But I remember, it's been quite a few years ago. There was this king. Let me think of his name. He's the king of Jordan. His name is Abdullah II. And I made a point in a little sermon that I had did. And it was that here, everyone, obviously, you have a sermon. Everyone in the room proclaimed to be a Christian. And not doubting anyone there. It just, that was a proclamation, as most people who would attend any church would proclaim. And anyway, the purpose of that was the fact that we could take a look at this king. And some of these kings in the Middle East, and not just the Middle East, other parts around, the leaders, other parts around the world. I mean, if you want to be honest, even in the United States, behind the scenes, you have your passport pulled on you like Snowden. If you get on the wrong side of the government, whether you do something illegal or not, there are people who couldn't take notice. But you get into other countries. Imagine being a servant. I mean, we could take a look at the Bible. We could take a look at we could go back to Joseph and the cupbearer and, the baker. We could go back to that. But for the purpose of it, just really a very simple example. And it was that if you were serving this king, and not trying to single him out, but we'll just use Abdullah too from Jordan. And imagine if you were a trusted servant. And you had access to his whole house, and so you knew he had a treasure room somewhere. And you would go in there when he was on vacation, wherever it may be, or other people were gone, and you would slowly take stuff. And one day, somebody else came to do a count, and they realized that there was quite a few things missing over time. Gold coin here, ruby there, diamonds, whatever there might be, paintings. And what you didn't know is there was a secret camera that had been hidden in that room that you were unaware of, and it caught you. Let me tell you, you'd be in trouble. Now, let's take it one step further. If you knew there was a camera in that room, and you knew the king was harsh, and he would either have you assassinated, killed, hung, executed, however, or just be put in some sort of dungeon or prison, if you did anything wrong, took anything, you take a dollar bill out of his wallet, whatever their currency may be, you wouldn't dare. But how is it that we have so many people who proclaim to be Christians, who proclaim to serve God, who proclaim to live for Jesus, but yet they will do all these things that are contrary? The Bible says, by their fruit you will know. Not that a Christian can't sin, because certainly they can. But it is definitely something for those who just heard that sermon from Moody to understand who it is we are following. We're not just following a king. I mean, if take it or leave it, putting politics aside, if I was called up by the U.S. government for service and they said, hey, we need you to help with the President of the United States, President Biden, and I accepted the offer, and I'm doing whatever it is they need me to do in the White House, you know, in my field of work, I'm good enough maybe to clean the Oval Office, okay, because, you know, I'm a professional cleaner, so I'm the cleaner of the White House, the head of it. And anyway, you know, I mean, there's a matter of respect. You know, there's a matter of things being done a proper way. Definitely, I would not be one, even if I disagree with a political leader, to nowadays to stand before, for instance, the President of the United States, and, you know, not show respect. Okay, that is our leader of a country. I'm not going to boot him out or have a bumper sticker on my vehicle or stuff like that. As a Christian, I'm not going to. God has allowed these people. He has put these people in power according to his word. And, you know, that is who we currently have. And, you know, and anyway, the point is when we live for Christ, we are serving the King of Kings. And that's a difference. And so, for those of you who are listening throughout Africa, and those of you who might hear this on the as a podcast on the website, you know, understand the seriousness of Jesus. We just went over what he claims. So Christ claims to be part of a triune God. You know, the Bible speaks about God being in three persons. You have God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And so, when you have God in the flesh, who came down on earth, who died for our sins, and who rose again to sit at the right hand of God the Father, we have a very serious thing. We're worshiping our very Creator. You know, go ahead and read Genesis chapter 1. And that's the key, and that's the difference. And so, our responsibility for those who have, as it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, repentance towards God and by faith believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, our responsibility is in to serve Christ wholeheartedly. We become enlisted as a soldier of Jesus Christ. And interesting enough, I will tell you another tidbit, and totally off topic, we'll just switch a little bit, that I find to be interesting, is as I have a couple extra minutes of the show. So the other day, I'm grocery shopping at Walmart. Okay, so this is totally off the topic, but so I'm there, and you know, I often think, and I had a little bit of a problem. I shop at like four different stores. So Walmart's my last. I try to give the most money to the smaller guy, the one who I'd rather work for if I had to, than I do the big one. You know, loving my neighbor. Well, anyway, so I had went to Safeway just prior to that. Got some stuff. And I noticed it was like every time, like I went to, you know, like Safeway's, their aisles are kind of small. But every time I went somewhere, it's like, somebody's like right there in front of me. Somebody's like right there in front of me. Well, so then I go to Walmart and they're busy. But I mean, the food section's not that busy. So I needed some soy sauce. So I'm coming down the aisle. Here's this guy in front of me. And he parks his cart right there, and he just stands back and just standing right there. And I'm like, okay. I need hot dog buns. I forgot those. I'm going to walk all the way back, grab those, leave my cart there. Sure enough, a minute later, I'm coming back. He's just leaving. I don't even know if he got anything. So then there's this old lady, and she has a cane in her cart. So, I mean, you know, and so she's, you know, kind of like I'm trying to go around her in the aisle, and she, like, goes in my side. Okay, that's fine. So I go around the other way. Well, I end up, like, I get to, like, go around the corner, and I'm like, I leave my cart in the aisle. I go to go around the corner. So I'm like, oh, I forgot applesauce in the next aisle over. And I come back, and I wish, you know, like, I don't like video, but if I had video, this would be like, my daughter has a little plastic shopping cart, you know, to play with. I would have to show you it. But anyway, so this lady, her cart's facing straight. She's in about a third of the way into the aisle, okay, like over. So there's like two-thirds on the other side of her. Anyway, so there's enough room. My cart's over down a little bit towards the middle of the aisle. So I'm just going to walk along where the food's at, and her cart shifts, like blocks me that way. So I'm like, okay. So that's fine. So I go to go, like, now I'm like walking towards the front, and her cart quickly moves, like, right in front of me. And then I go, you know, so now I'm going to go on her the other side. There's plenty of room. Her car turns that way. And I'm like, okay. Like, I honestly thought, for some reason, it just didn't seem right. I actually thought to myself, like, I almost said, lady, are you demon possessed? You know, I mean, they're out there, right? You know, and their heads don't turn around. They're out there. I mean, look at how many Jesus cast out. But I didn't say nothing. I just quietly went around. So I'm reading this book. I don't know if it's at night or next night. And there's something, because I remember I came home, I told my wife, I said, look, I said, this is what I like, played this out. You know, like, here's what happened. I'm like, this has been happening, like, off and on. It doesn't happen every time we go shopping, but it sometimes happened. And I've always thought, like, this is, like, some sort of tactic of the devil. But just never really knew. Well, I forgot to mention, so when you know, she has her, like, her cane in there, you know, in her cart. And so when I look in there, there's a couple six-packs of, like, hard beer. I mean, not the light kind. This is, like, the high alcohol content kind. And so, you know, I'm not saying that she's demon-possessed or not. I don't know. But she certainly acted like she was influenced underneath it. And the beer, at, you know, 70-some-year-old woman. Hey, maybe it's for her grandson. I don't know. But what I do know is I happen to be reading this book from Moody. And he says, because I always wonder, like, boy, I thought maybe it got easier. And he says in it, he says, no, it doesn't get easier. He says, the closer you get to the cross, the worse it actually gets. And I'm like, oh, I wish somebody had told me that. Like, I've kind of been figuring it out on my own, but really, it actually gets worse. You know, like, the devil comes after you more. Yep, according to Moody and my experience, yeah, it seems to be that way. And it's like Moody says, the devil has 6,000 years of experience in doing this. So you have to be very humble. And you have to maintain it, because that way you don't accidentally basically give a bad report to Christ and, you know, do something that's kind of like what happened with David and Bathsheba. So anyway, I just figured I had a couple extra minutes just to toss it out there. I don't know. I just remember years ago, a guy named Paul and me would talk, and occasionally I remember him saying one time he had these problems. And I was actually having the exact same problems. And I'm like, I am so glad you told me. Because, like, what it was is we were having this problem for a while. I think it was 2009. And we're, like, people were, like, just dead on staring at us out of nowhere. I mean, it happened to me, like, three times. I don't know how many times it happened to him. I actually think it was at Walmart. For me, it was not at Walmart. I was actually while out working. But anyway, as always, if you have questions about salvation, please visit the website allwillstand.org, and you can click on the salvation link. Tons of information there. You can also email me at tim@allwillstand.org. There's tons of information up on the website. If you need a Bible to download, please click on the Books and Bibles link up on the main page and go ahead and download yourself a copy of the Bible. It's a good thing to have. If you don't have a PDF one, I recommend keeping one on hand. You never know when the rapture is going to happen. Until next week, have a great week.